Welcome to the Militant Grind Show, where we dive deep into the journeys of those who've mastered the art of being their best selves. Every episode is a testament to resilience, dedication, and the pursuit of excellence, embodying our tagline, the most honorables. Here you'll find inspiration, insights, and strategies to elevate your life in every aspect. For more empowering content and to join our community of achievers, visit us at militantgrind.com. Let's embark on this journey together because the grind never stops. Are you ready for a radical transformation? Join the ranks of the most honorables. Our proven methods forge resilience, sharpen strategic thinking, and unlock your true potential. We'll challenge you mentally, physically, and spiritually, preparing you to overcome any obstacle. Visit militantgrindacademy.com and begin your evolution. Greatness awaits. Forge your path, ignite your future. Most of all, join the movement.
Welcome to the Militant Grind Podcast. Ty Mock, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm fine.
Okay, and you're also known as something else. Can you remind me?
No, I'm not known as something else. I don't know what you're talking about.
So you never walking in the store, so it was like Bruce Leroy.
Yeah. Narrows with me.
Right.
No, it's a blessing.
Yeah, definitely, man. Like, you know, you have had a humongous impact on my childhood. And, you know, just watching the movie about a thousand, I don't think I've seen any other movie in my life as many times as I've seen The Last Dragon, you know.
Everybody tells me.
Yeah.
Gotta get the people out in the world to know that, because I hear that all the time, but then I don't know why it's not given that kind of love, you know.
Really?
Well, I'm not talking about fans. Of course, fans do. But it's never, you know, there's a huge fan of The Last Dragon named Craig Sutton. Now, he's probably the biggest because he started a website years ago. And he has an Instagram page, all this. And he said to me, he sent me an Instagram. He goes, "Hey, man, every time they mention these 80s movies, you know, whatever 80s website, or they don't talk about The Last Dragon as part of the top 80s movies." Yeah. And it's just the way it is, you know.
Man, that,
and I've just have to accept it and go, okay, it's kind of a silent killer. I'm a ninja. The movie's a ninja.
But then it's like, I guarantee you, I could call any one of my friends and ask them if they seen The Last Dragon, and they'll probably be like, "What? Bro, are you serious?" Like, of course.
Well, usually, if they haven't seen it, they've heard of it most of the time, you know.
Right. Because it was especially like, especially community. Yeah. You said especially when?
I said especially in the Black community, because they took it so close to their heart. Because at the time there weren't any movies made like with any leading man of color that has, you know, this kind of positive, you know, it was very unique at the time.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything like that. And, I don't think there has been anything like that since, you know?
Yeah. And it was a very interesting tape, because like me watching it as a kid and me watching it as an adult, it played a profound impact on like me being my own individual. No matter what the world is saying, no matter what people are talking about, and no matter what people are doing. And then just due to the fact that we have you, which was a very, you know, very young Black man at the time, that was a master martial artist, you know, and it wasn't like you were just like a stunt, like you were really on point. And, you know, we all grew up watching Bruce Lee, Kung Fu movies, Jackie Chan and stuff like that. And then we see someone that looks like us that's like really kicking ass and doing all the tricks and doing all of those things. And it was kind of like a, you know, like a wow factor. Like we have nothing else, you know, unless you want to count like a couple Wesley Snipes movies or whatever, or Michael J. White. But this was just like something more special to us. Like you were really a good guy. You were your own individual and you were so young. And it was just like, even thinking about it as an adult outside of that, it's like, how in the hell did this man become such a expert martial artist like that? Especially being a young black man or mixed race man, however you want to call yourself, at the time,
Well, I call myself time out, okay?
Time
Because I like to
out,
think
right?
I'm unique, you know. I don't put any label on anybody. I don't put a label on myself. I just go, who can I be in this world? Who can I be? And what can I offer other human beings on this planet? You know, that's how I look at things.
Right.
And all the validity to what you said prior, you know, it's all valid. I just letting you know my point of view about it. I'm looking at more inclusivity because I see so much separation in the world, and looking to have more inclusivity and bring it all in into a wonderful package we call love.
Right.
And how can we love? How can we be better? And you know, Wesley Snipes and Michael Jai White both said the Last Dragon motivated them to do martial arts films and things like that. So
Wow.
prior to me, there was Jim Kelly, and of course Bruce Lee and Sonny Chiba and all these people, Shaw Brothers, but people of color, there was Jim Kelly. But at that time, so many guys from Vin Diesel on down, you know, they all, you know, Will Smith wrote about it in his autobiography. And yeah, it's an interesting path that I've been on. I'm just looking at how can I expand out further as an artist, as an actor, as a person, to excite people's mind, body, and soul. That's it.
And so how did you start getting, because you were what, like 19 or 19 when the movie came out? So you probably got casted when you were 18 or something, right?
It was right in between. It was right in between 19 and 20. And then yeah, it was in New York, and it was really a completely different city. Not as far as energy. There was a lot of energy. There's a lot of energy still, you know. But back then there was this, how can I explain it? It was dark and light. Dark was because the crime, light because there was the artists in New York, and the desire to express yourself when you're a kid, mostly in the nightlife and the club scenes and music, and then on outward, you know, because they had discos and things like this. So kids were all just vying to get to the best DJs, and they wanted to dance off their pain. You know, a lot of young people even today, right? And, you know, how do you get all that aching out of your body? And what we did back then was we danced. And then of course for me it was martial arts and dancing expression that way. And then out of nowhere I get this part in The Last Dragon. So it took me on a path of learning about acting and that path, you know.
And so you grew up in New York or in LA?
No, I was my parents, and my father's Italian, my mother's black, and we grew up, they were from New York. They were short in California, and they had me and my brother. And that was in Los Angeles. Then they came back to New York, and then we traveled to Europe. So that's mostly New York and Europe was where I spent my childhood.
Oh wow. And so did you go to like a school in New York where you learn martial arts, or how
Yeah,
did
I
that
mean,
work?
I was doing when I was a little kid, you know. My father got me into it with Gerald Orange and then Ron Van Cleef. And then when I became an adult, I started going to different places to pick up, you know, different styles, and mostly a karate, but then I got into Shaolin, and then I got into, well, when I was a teenager, my mother's first husband and stepfather, Donald Hayes, he was a big boxing coach. So I was into boxing, but I was doing martial arts. So it was, then later in, I studied jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu with Joe Moreira and then Marcelo Garcia. And then I ended up finding out that I had these spinal injuries that were really difficult for over a decade. I had to stop training and focus on healing. And that's taken me on a whole nother journey. It's like in The Last Dragon, he says, when the masters, fans know the movie better than me, I'll tell you. When the master's putting up the emblems and the medallions to say, this is the last dragon, your last one. So I feel I'm completing this circle now, learning more from the pain, the suffering of, that you feel in your body and that kind of thing. So, and being able to surrender, yeah.
And when did the pain start?
Well, the pains, it was due to spinal injuries, but really most people, it starts from childhood. If you've had different things go on, which all human beings have had things that are kind of shocking go on, child takes that in, internalizes it, and then it externalizes itself. It projects outward. So as a kid, I was introverted. As a fighter, I was extroverted. And then starring in a movie, trying to balance both, insecurities, securities, and then going out into the jungle of the entertainment industry with, there's some wonderful people, but there's also some twisted souls that because of the internet, you're learning more and more about them.
Yeah, right. I can only
But
imagine how it
color doesn't
was
make a
with her.
difference.
Yeah, I can
Doesn't
only
make a difference
imagine
with
how it
color.
was. Yeah, right. I
They
mean,
come
back
in
then in
every
the
shade,
80s,
color.
where. Oh, what'd you say? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I was saying it comes in every shade, color, size, race, gender, and to have to navigate through that and keep your center was virtually, in my case, it started from the day I ended up working on The Last Dragon, dealing with that, and then going out into Hollywood and no internet, no way to Google search. So looking for answers, and feeling ostracized, and then having a life. You have to tighten your belt and make your way. And that's what I did. I was doing commercials, modeling, did stunt work at Universal Studios, taught under the, rest in peace, Madonna Grimes at Gold's Gym Hollywood. I ran a boxing kickboxing program at Crunch in Hollywood, and I did theater at the same time. And then 9/11 happened, and I had a close family friend and family member, more like a family member, Russell Clark, famous dance choreographer. May he rest in peace. Russell Clark was amazing. He passed away, and I just came back to New York, and that was top of 2001, around there. And just went on a journey of searching for work, but searching for ultimately trying to figure this thing out. How can I be an artist that is working, and contributing to that way, and just going through the maze, and I've, like I said, I'm completing a circle, so things are working out.
Right. And it was it kind of like, because I can only imagine being like 19 years old, and you're in a popular movie, Berry Gordy, finance. You're in there with Vanity's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful self. Oh my God, man, she rested. She passed away, right? Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, I do recall that. Because I always get her and Apollonia mixed up sometimes. So, because they both kind
Very
of.
different. They're very different. Just on the outer, they're similar, but they're very different.
So sometimes I'm like, oh, but that wasn't my area. I was born in 86, so I'm not like very familiar, but yeah, you're in there with her, kiss her. I mean, I'm sure you got popular because of that fit, handsome young guy. And so you had probably like a tremendous amount of success and exposure. And it was something that you weren't used to. Like you said, you were an introvert, extrovert while you're fighting.
I was kind of no, I get what you're saying. It was a lot of it was too much.
Right. Like I could only imagine like
Overwhelming.
being that young and experiencing all that success and all of those people. It's like, what the hell is going on,
That's exactly how it was.
Yeah, 'cause like
I
you
didn't
probably
know and
couldn't.
didn't and wasn't prepared and didn't know how to handle that.
Yeah, 'cause it's like usually like people warm themselves up. Like, hey, I did a commercial or I was on this little role and I'm like gauging how this is working. But was that your first move?
I went right into the heavyweight world championship
Thank
boxing.
exactly. Because I never heard anything where it's like you did a commercial or you was, a
I
child
did.
actor doing this or like you were on, whatever. It was like The Last Dragon was his first thing. And I'm like, how the like how did he, like I couldn't imagine being
It was
you. You
it
know?
was as yeah, if I didn't have martial arts, I probably unfortunately would have been on drugs, you know. I mean, I could never say that, because that's not me, but the martial arts was able to calm me down because I had so much energy, so much confusion, that I needed something, and I, it was natural in martial arts. But it was drug, the training, running marathons, all this kind of thing. I had to take off this edge of anger, depression, confusion, and yeah, and all that. The confusion a lot was every teenager that is out there has, but times 10, so yeah, it's interesting, it's interesting. I think all, like I said to you prior, I think it's all comes to a close now, and it's something that turns into wisdom, that you can lift others up, and if they want to be, because you can't lift someone up if they want to stay down. So you just plant seeds and then let it grow. And I, looking within, that's the irony. I was born the year of the dragon, and the irony is that it was all about looking within yourself, There's a guy that's getting a lot of attention now. I started doing his meditations because I was meditating before, but these have a real great he Dr. Joe Dispenza, he's becoming very popular around the world. That's the benefit of having the internet. Things information travels fast. So his meditations have coupled with his knowledge around science and quantum physics, neuroplasticity, biology, chemistry, and epigenetics, all these things. And his gift of articulating very deep ancient mystical concepts in a very simple way to the average person has had average people have miracles happen in their life, mentally, physically, spiritually. And the core grounded Expression has always been love, and meditation is a tool. I see his work being an expression of the glow, because the divine shows up as a healing light that is electric, and whatever electric means is people only feel. They can think, but people care about the way they feel, and God comes through the body and a feeling that you can sense, and that has power, you know, of
Yeah,
life, power to life.
I'm definitely a fan of Dr. Joe Dispenza, and and my take on him is just like the power of the subconscious mind, and I'm really careful on like what I digest and what I listen to, who I'm listening to, what I'm watching. I don't take anything that I am observing lightly. Like if someone is watching a scary movie, I'll be like, no, I'm getting out of here because I don't want that energy going into my mind, And I feel like some people are they're not really conscious of that. And it's like whatever we ingest, we end up, being we in the we end up emulating it,
I can watch things personally. However, first, I'm aware of myself. So if you're talking about a horror movie, if I had a tough day emotionally, you know, something is irking me, I don't want to exasperate that by going to see something. I'd rather go to a comedy. But I had a, day that's been going smooth, and I can go to a horror movie, but I'm still aware of myself. I think, again, it's so important to look within and check in on yourself. Meditation being the tool. Once you check on yourself, you go, yeah, I'm good. I can look at this and take it for what it is rather than internalizing it, because most of the subconscious been locked in as a child, so it's already there.
And I honestly was just about to ask you that because I'm a firm believer in that we never escape who we are as children. I feel like a child, like I have four kids and they're all like totally different types of people, but it's kind of like you could kind of see that some people are just born with a certain phenotype, and it's like they're not really going to get away from that. Maybe they could use those strengths and put them into different things in life. But it's like, say, I had a conversation with one of my childhood friends that I grew up with from like 7 to 10 years old, and we were just talking about how we used to do things, how we were fearless, how we were risk takers, blah, blah, blah. And then we both discovered that we were just kids that were very creative, that, and we're still creative people now. Because we'll make up games to play. Like we didn't have nothing. So it's like, okay, let's do this, let's do that. And now I'm an entrepreneur, which is a risk taker and someone that is creative and, do creative processes and things like that. And I'm just like, this really isn't no different than how I was as a child. It was more so like it's put into a different type of energy now as an adult. You get what I'm saying? So when you said that, I was gonna think, I'm like, so do you believe now that you're probably like at your core being as like who you've seen yourself as a child?
As a well,
Well, as
as,
did I say it the right way?
no, you can say it. You say it more concise, but I follow you. I follow you.
Yeah, so basically when you were a child, you had your core being, right? So now, are you seeing yourself like, okay, I'm back at the core being as like as I, felt like I felt like my childhood self, like basically it's like this is the core me, that I was as a child, and I'm probably getting back to that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I always had, I wasn't always aware, but I always knew. I didn't always make the connection to childhood, but I always knew that spirit that I was. I think you have, like you said, you have children. What'd you say, four?
Yeah.
Yeah, and every one of them are different.
Totally.
And that's why I said earlier about the labels of race and this and that. I said, we're very different within
Right.
the race, without the race.
Right.
Everybody's so, it just becomes a construct. So I always knew, like I was different than my brother and my sister and other people, and then, you might have a friend, 9, 10 years old. You can see, oh, that's my mischievous friend. This is my funny friend. This is my friend that dazes out. This is my friend that, you know what I mean? And then what happens is, I think that doesn't change. I think what happens is the different circumstances changes people and the different experiences. But ultimately, the core of who someone is there. And it's up to them to elevate, because it's what you've been given. It's like a container with these qualities. And it's up to us to fine-tune those qualities. And like I said earlier, is to make connections with others in a way that gives more light to humanity,
Right.
because we're not going to run away from this planet.
Elon Musk is trying to, but
You're on
I'm
one
good.
planet.
Right. Elon Musk is trying, but I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, so then with that being, huh?
He goes, I mean, after a while, he'll get. I don't analyze it too much. It's like, let someone discover what they discover. It's curious, going to the plant, bringing 100 of your friends.
Right.
I mean, I'm better bring some good scientists because up another planet might have different energies, right? You better
Right.
be prepared. Be prepared for the unknown because Zulu man might show up and put a
Right.
spark on your butt. Who
No,
knows? But
seriously,
it's
seriously. Like, that's a little bit, that's too far for me, like I'll watch you guys on the camera and then, give it a couple years and see how it all plays out. But, not being able to breathe and, no resources, no food, you're eating food out of a package or whatever. Nah, that sounds insane. But
yeah, but I'm sure they have all those things and they, well thought out and how to manage it. But there's always, even on Earth, like you said, you're starting a new business. There's always the unknown, and it's how well you're able to manage the unknown and deal with the unknown. And that's the whole purpose of looking within, because once you tap into yourself and you bring yourself into, balance, then part of that is to recognize that you have fears and to be able to deal with them and then go out there and say, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm prepared for whatever that does come. And if I'm not prepared, I will learn and grow.
Right. For sure. Yeah, we definitely always have to learn and grow and be open-minded. And at the same time, remain our core being. And I feel like for me
That's not going
personally,
anywhere.
you said what?
That's not going anywhere.
Right, exactly. Because it's like my experience in life is more so like when I go against the core me, it always fucks up. I feel like it, God, the universe, whatever people want to call it, I call it God. But like, say if I'm doing something that's against what I was born to do or born as, I fail. But when I do something that's along the core value of me, I succeed like dramatically. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, and then I meditate and all that stuff too. And then it was just like, why don't you just stick to what you've always wanted to be, who you are, and how you operate it? Then I started thinking about how I thought and who I was as a child. And it was like, there was nothing really ever wrong, anything wrong with it. You know, you were a child, but you still thought, you know, you still had energy, you still had insight. And now, if you were to think back, like, okay, 30 years ago, if you would have told me at 8 years old that I would be this, I would probably be like, okay, well, it makes sense because that's what I want to do anyway, you know? So it's like, think about who you wanted to be as a child. Like, I wanted to be an attorney, I wanted to be a lawyer, right? But I didn't like school. But then it's like, well, I was in law school, but I just absolutely hated it, right? And then I was thinking, like, was it really the title of me being a lawyer, or was it me wanting to advocate and protect people? You know, what, which one really was it? Because I was watching Matlock and I would be intrigued, like, wow, he's really, you know, advocating for people. Then I was like, well, I could just be a consultant. I could just be this, I could be that. Like, basically, I wanted to stand up and stick up for people that, you know, didn't have a voice, you know, and now I'm doing that with working as a consultant and managing people and stuff like that, and I'm very successful at it. I love it. I will wake up in the middle of the night, check my phone, you know, do what I have to do. You know what I mean? Because I think about it like this now. It's like I have the capabilities now to change people's lives, and through this person, so many other lives get changed, and that's what drives me. You know, us using our gifts to impact and change people's lives. You know, fortunately, you did that at 19. You know, you did that at like 19, 20, and then I was like, okay, well, now what? But yeah, man, like that's, you know, like just speaking about that, Joe Dispenza and all, they kind of like had me think about that, because after I, you know, listened to some of his interviews, read his book, The Power of the Subconscious Mind, you know, things like that, I was just like, wow, who am I? What is the core of me? You know, and then just going back as a kid, you know, just like watching the, let's just mention the last, that was my favorite all-time movie for sure. Watching The Last Dragon and just seeing, you know, a man sticking up for his family, and you know, he was a peaceful guy, but at the same time, he had to fight and stand up for himself and his people, you know. And it wasn't that the guy was picking on you. You was like, man, I don't give a fuck if you pick on me, like I could take it. But now you're dealing with my brother. Now you went to my parents' shop. Now you're dealing with whatever the Asian guy was on the movie. You know, you locked him in a closet. Okay, enough is enough. Now it's time. Now I got to kick your ass. You know, now it's going down. You know what I mean? And that was very interesting to me, because it was like, man, like, you know, I can handle things, but you know, you're impacting my loved ones, people that, you know, like within my circle, now something must be done. You know what I'm
Right.
saying? And it wasn't like you were a bully, or you were like, man, if you hit me, I'm gonna fuck you up. And, you know, it's like, no, I'm gonna let you be an idiot. You can be a fool. I'll let you do that on your own time. I'll just walk off. You know, and I never seen anything like that. Like, I'm from LA, you know, I grew up in the inner city of LA, you know, so it was more so just like so much confrontation. Like, you step on my shoe, you do this, you can't be no punk, you know,
York
somebody
was a
punch
fan.
you. You know what I mean? And
York
then
was
I,
a
yeah, and then I'm seeing a man that is more than capable of whooping everybody's ass, you know, and he is so peaceful.
Yeah,
And
that was the thing, right? As much as I felt slighted by the producer of The Last Dragon, I know the intention came from wanting to give that kind of a character to the world, the person that doesn't want to use violence. They'll defend themselves, but doesn't, you know, the level of compassion that's there. Sorry, I'm a New York fan. If you hear that sound.
you're good. You're good.
Yeah, that I was similar that way. It's like, yeah. A lot of people that are violent, I'd say the most part, are really confused, hurt people that don't even know what they're doing. They're just lost souls, and they're acting out their pain. And unfortunately, that's That's why it's so important for people like the Dispensers and others, you know, that are out there with this healing message, because that's the only way that we won't see these wars around the world, you know.
Right.
It's for every individual to acknowledge that they're in varying degrees of pain, and to look within and find modalities. Mine is meditation. Others could be a form of that, or prayer, or I just, again, meditation is a way to get into the blueprint of the subconscious mind and to make shifts there so that their behavior starts to shift, and also acknowledge that we're by nature grew up around on Earth where there's stress being held in the mind and body. And when you're able to acknowledge that, then you go, okay, it's like having a broken finger. Oh, it's a stressor. Oh, I got a broken finger. Acknowledge it, you know? Otherwise, you have all the pain in your finger, and then you're acting out on somebody else because you're not addressing the problem.
Right.
You know? And everybody's got it. I don't care how much you pretend that there is no stress in your life. Yeah, I'm super cool. I wear my shades. I got my bling.
Right.
look at what Diddy was doing, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Got my bling, got everybody else bling, and got my family bling. Everybody's got bling now. But the guy obviously was twisted in pain and didn't take the time to look within himself ever to really handle that.
Yeah.
And you could run from yourself, but you can run, but you can't hide. You can't hide from yourself, you know? It just keeps coming up in your face. And for me, personally, I had this different thing that happened. It wasn't normal for a teenager, especially of color at that time, to be put out in the world to become a movie star. I wasn't prepared for that. And to have it be very successful over the decades that preceded the film coming out, and not to have been able to continue that reign was confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't mean that I couldn't have done it a different way, but at the time I was in like a fishbowl, you know, and not seeing outside of it. And there's a, you know, one stress after another unknowingly is happening because I couldn't see out of it, you know. I couldn't see a way out of it. And I think that's what Nelson Mandela did. I think he obviously, in a horrible position of being in prison,
mm-hmm.
we're all in a prison in some way, figuratively, literally, he was literally in a prison. So to be able to elevate his mind to a space of gratitude in that situation is extraordinary, you know.
Right.
And to come out in a space of gratitude and love is extraordinary. And that's why he became the president when he came out and was able to change the world and people. That's the thing, is if you can look beyond the pain, look beyond what you don't have, and go, okay, what do I have, you know?
Right.
And start from there. And that's...
And I feel like America specifically, since we have been marketed to since we were children, you know, and you know, with commercials and things like that, even social media, we're just always looking at something that we need that we don't
Outside of
really think
ourselves,
we
yes.
need. Yeah, outside of ourselves, right? So
That'll
it's
give
like,
us that, yay, now I've got it. Now I've got
come
the
on.
power. And then there's another thing. There's another thing.
Right. It's always something, you know, like if you wear these Jordans, you'll be flying like Michael Jordan. Now you'll be able to do a slam dunk. And it's like, no, you know, like that's not reality, but that's what we grew up on. Like, do this, drink this, you could be strong. You should drink milk. You should drink egg, you know, and it's just like it like save me traveling, going to other countries. You know, they're just I don't feel like they're bombarded with all of that. And those people are just happy just to be able to eat a meal and be around their family, you know? And I feel like we had to shift
Yeah.
from feeling like we always need something outside of ourselves when in reality all we need is food, clothing, and shelter. You know, that's probably we probably don't even need that. But yeah, food, clothing, and shelter.
Well, yeah, and rich relationships, relate, being able to laugh
Yeah.
and listen to music and you know, all these kind of things, exchange pleasure and love and you know, that kind of energy. Yeah, because I you know, I loved when I would get new workout clothes or workout sneakers, different colors or this and that. Yeah, I loved that and it motivated me. But ultimately, if you not finding if you're not willing to calm yourself and be still and be quiet and just know that there's love within. I
Right.
know that sounds very fluffy, you know, but it's there. It's
Right.
there. It's an energy that's within us, and you build on it. You build on it. You know, you build on it, and you express it outwardly. You know, you express it outwardly with whatever you're doing, and you trust, and you trust, and you trust, and the unknown, and then let it follow you, and you know, let be follow. I mean, follow it, and you'll see the direction. It because it becomes like just yesterday, I was going to my a workshop that these amazing actors, writers, part of a club, Bobby Marusco, as I'm heading down there, I say, okay, I want to be there a little early. So I jump on a bus because it was, even if I took a Uber, there was so much traffic. So I said, let me take the bus. And the bus was derailed to go a different direction. It
Oh God.
made it worse. Then I go, at first, I'm like, oh, come on, man. Yeah. And then I said, wait a minute. This is happening for a reason, you know? So get at ease and follow it, okay? Because sometimes you're being tested, and if you don't recognize that, then you're still going to have these issues. So it was like letting go, and you know, okay, I didn't get what I wanted, but I got an important lesson. Because when I got off the bus, I was hilarious. Then I said, let me go on the train. The train was going a different direction.
Oh,
So
God.
I said, you can't fool me. You can't fool me. I got it. I got you. I got you. So I just mellowed out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what I have to work on myself. But trust me, even like waiting for this interview, I was like, oh shit, I gotta get my computer up. Fuck it. Okay, let me hit on, you know, I'm just thinking about all of these different things because I was like super excited to, you know, make this happen. You know what I mean? Like, are you there? Oh
Best thing is
yeah.
the
So
best thing
like,
to communicate. The best thing is to communicate, you
right, and
know.
to communicate. And I was
Because
like,
everybody's trying to look at everybody's trying to not come off a certain way rather than going, okay, let me express my feelings and put it out there and trust, you know.
right. And that's what I did. And then it's like, okay, it's happening because you know, I have all kind of stuff going on, meetings, stuff like that. I had to reschedule something to make this happen. And I was like, well, let me confirm. Oh shit, he confirmed. Damn. Okay, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, but then it was just like, why couldn't I trust it? You know, like why? Because usually I don't confirm, people just always show up, but it's you know what I mean? So I was just like, let me make sure, because if he can't make it, I could do something else. But then also I wanted to make sure, but then it was kind of not, now I'm learning, like, why couldn't you just trust that this was going to happen, he was going to show up, everything is going to be okay, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, write that in your notes and
Right. Right.
in your meditation.
Right.
Just want to let you know, I have to, in about 10 minutes, I have to jump.
That's fine. Same here, same here. And so from here, you know, like say next year is the 40th anniversary of your major, you know, film, The Last Dragon. And so what are you gonna do, you know, for yourself when it comes to, like, I feel like there would be nothing wrong with you monetizing and exploiting, you know, that the way people perceive the film, the way you are as a person, you know, and the way people just saw you as a character, in order to bring about more abundance in your life, you know, like.
Well, I brought some. These are all brand new, so this is the first time anybody's ever seen these. But Helen Collin has worked with me, and we designed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is the medallion, but with my logo on it, and I got some T-shirts coming,
Oh,
and.
so you need my address. Okay, I got you.
So that's what's going on. People are going to be able to get those very soon. I'd say another couple of weeks. I'm doing New York Comic Con on the 17th of this month to the 20th, and 17th, 20th. Then I got Demetrius Angelo. He always does these wonderful events celebrating diversity in the independent action film genre. He does it in Times Square, normally at AMC Theater, but this time it's going to be at the Regal Theater across the street from the AMC Theater on 42nd Street. So that's November 9th. So, and on Instagram, I always post wherever I'm going to be and whatever I'm doing, that'll be posted up on I am Timok at Instagram.
Okay. Man, for sure. Hopefully you'll come to LA soon, man. We would love to. I would love to be at wherever you go. I would love to meet you in person. Seriously.
Thank
I
you.
think we just had a Comic-Con out here and missed out on that. But yeah, you know, I'm following you. Keep us informed about everything. I sincerely appreciate your time. I want to tell you that you are one of my childhood heroes, you know. So I interviewed a lot of people, but when it came to you, I was like, oh shit, you know, just me being such a big fan, you know. So thank you, man. I really appreciate you coming on, being vulnerable, telling us your story, and telling us how you're gonna move forward from here on out. And you know, I'm sure you'll have much success on, you know, the business ventures that you're working on. And you know, just from me to you, brother, please exploit that as much as you can, because I'm not sure if you are, well, I'm sure you said that, you know, you said that earlier, it's been 40 years, but
Next year will be 40 years.
your presence has impacted a lot of people
Right.
positively. You
Yeah,
know,
no,
your
I get
presence on
that.
the planet Earth.
Yeah, I
Such a
mean, yeah. I mean, in Brazil they have a painting of me out there in São Paulo. But I mean, I received what you said, and you can be sure that I'm not letting any of these circumstances change who I am. I'm just changing who I am to be a better person every moment I can. And that's my commitment, and to make this world a better place, you know? So all the kids can step into a different dimension of peace and love and excitement making amazing new ways.
Thank you. And thank you so much for putting forth the effort to do that, man. Like, you know, just being impactful is everything to me, you know, and changing people's lives for the better is everything to me, which is why I created this podcast, Militant Grind, you know, Militant Mind, and just stay on the path of what you're doing and just be the best version of yourself. And thank you for continuing to be the best version of you and sticking to who you are as a person. And not like going off the rocker, you know, because of Hollywood or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like it's good to see that you're here, you're healthy, and you're still pushing after 40 years, you know, of that release. You know, because I know there was a lot of things that could have, you know, it's the 80s, you know what I'm saying? We already know, you know, a lot of things that could have happened, but it's just a good blessing that you're here to receive, you're here to give, and you know, continuing to be the best version of you.
You already know.
Right,
Thank you,
right, right.
brother. Thank you.
You're very welcome, man. So thank you. Have a great rest of your day, sir, and we'll connect at another time.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
We hope you're leaving this episode feeling empowered. Remember, greatness is a choice. To stay updated on our latest content and continue sharpening your edge, hit that subscribe button. Let's keep grinding together. Remember to visit militantgrind.com.